Hey, folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast this week, I just wanted to tell you quickly about NTT Fitness and NTTFitness.com. That is a full health mecca. I tell you what, located in Pinellas Park, you got group fitness classes, you got a gymnasium, you got people that will hold you accountable for your own fitness goals, and they have an excellent meal prep service. Now, I know you can cook your own food. I get it. You know how to do it. Wouldn't it be nice to have some variety, though, and it's delivered right to your door? You can get your entire Sunday back. You don't have to worry about it. It shows up on Sunday night, and then you just put it in the fridge, and you got food for the week. It is awesome. I've been using it for a few weeks, and I absolutely love it. I want you to try it out. Use code LEVELUP15. That's the homemade broadcast code at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your first order, NTTFitness.com. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drop, Drop Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Gathered today to say their final goodbyes to this fallen Louisville police officer, D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the show. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line over here. HMBRadio.com is a website. How's it going? You feeling all right? I'm getting the levels set up here. I should have done this beforehand. Not stalling right now. I know what you're thinking, and I'm not doing that. Hey, get your Homemade Broadcast stickers and magnets. Email me thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. I'll send some out to you. Have you been over to hmbradio.com lately? You should go check it out because you can find out what the new XFL team name is that's here in Tampa Bay. XFL is a rejuvenated league from the early 2000s that Vince McMahon from the WWE started. I think it lasted like 1 or 2 years and it was gone. And they're bringing it back to life, trying to compete with the NFL. It'll probably fail. Let's be honest. I don't even remember the name of that football league that was around before. They lasted like 3 games earlier this year or something, and then they were defunct. AFL, USAFL, or something like that. But this is Vince McMahon from the WWE. He's got a bunch of money, so it'll at least last the season. And Tampa Bay has a team. They announced what the team names are going to be. I think there's 8 teams total playing in the country for their first year. It's going to test the water, see how it goes. Tampa Bay is one of the ones with a team. And you can find out what that team name is, what the mascot is. If you go over to hmbradio.com/news, you can find that there. And also, find out why I think alligators may be an existential threat to mankind. I think they're becoming self-aware, and I'm very concerned about them now. And if you go there to hmbradio.com/news, you can find out what an alligator did that freaked me the hell out, dude. I'm really concerned, so go check that out. Coming up on the show a little later, we got bedtime where I watched a garbage television show I'm going to tell you about. I noticed some things that were curious to me, and maybe they'll be curious to you as well. So we'll get to that in the next segment, and then we're going to wrap it up with a clip from Stay Woke, which is a radio show I co-host with my pal Anna Hummel on 102.5 The Bone. We're going to get to that clip at the end. But before we get into any of that stuff, plus this week's story, I want to say thank you very much to Truvi Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V-I V's in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Botox Lady is coming. Once a month she comes. Don't get your mind out of the gutter. She shows up to the shop and injects people with Botox, poison. But it won't kill you unless you take enough of it. Just a little bit, it'll just flatten your face out like a hot iron without the burns. So if you're interested in something like that, visit TruVSalonAndSpa.com. Plus, all the classic spa services, haircuts, facials. I think you can get your nails did if you want. They got it all over there. Visit TruVSalonAndSpa.com. All right, the story I chose this week, the Tampa Bay-based tale, is one of our neighbors across the pond. Jane Castor over there in Tampa outlined a new LGBT-owned business program this week in Tampa, and those businesses are about to get a boost after signing an executive order Tuesday creating a new classification for businesses in the city's procurement process. Big word. Mayor Jane Castor also vowed to bring additional resources to not only the LGBT-owned businesses, but to any undeserved or emerging companies. Castor spoke with Florida Politics Thursday to explain the new executive order. She says, "We will provide them with whatever assistance they need to be successful." Cash is what that means. This includes an effort already underway to reach all Tampa's small businesses. The Bridges to Business tour Castor launched earlier this summer reaches businesses in the communities they serve to provide information and resources on how to get on city's vendors list and apply for city contracts. The LGBT-owned business category builds on those that already exist for women and minority-owned businesses. Having one of those classifications does not guarantee a contract, but the city is vowing to provide a portion of its contracts to those with one of the classifications. In 2017, 15% of the city's $122 million contracts went to minority or women-owned businesses. In 2018, that data is not available yet. Here's the thing with this. You can just lie. I don't want to give his name out or anything, but I have a friend of mine. His dad owns a pretty big company. Like, the dude's got a private jet and stuff. I've been on it. It's awesome. And the guy's living large. He's doing well. What he does is he just, you know, promotes. He promotes in quotes one of his employees who happens to perhaps be a person of color or something of that variety. And when he applies for these certain contracts, they are now somehow, he's got this figured out, they get pushed to the front of the line because technically it's a minority-owned business. He gives the dude some cash on the side, and then they get this huge million-dollar contract. Mayor Castor says, "We are a city that is inclusive and a city that embraces its diversity. So we need to help all small business owners to ensure that they're successful within our community." Not all businesses are going to be successful. Some businesses fail. That's the thing with capitalism, is sometimes if you're not competitive and somebody else can do the job better for cheaper, they're not going to succeed. So just because you're of a part of a certain minority group doesn't mean that your business can't fail. Is that what they're saying here? Ay, ay, ay. In addition to assuring a percentage of city's contracts go to women, minority, or LGBT businesses, Castor said the goal was to also track a number of businesses in the city and compile data to track growth and success. While Castor's move came with celebration from the community and its allies, some were critical. In one comment on news of Castor's executive order on Wednesday, a person wrote that the city should not be creating a special class of businesses and complained that the move was on the city's dime. Castor rejects that notion that the LGBT classification picks favorites. That's exactly what it does. I don't understand how you can say that with a straight face. It's See, here's the thing, too, man. I'm all for diversity, okay? I think mostly everybody is. However, if it's going to cost the city money because a certain amount of contracts are going to have to be given to these businesses, they don't need to compete. So they can charge whatever they want because a percentage has to go to a certain minority group. So they can just charge whatever they want. And then that's going to cost the taxpayer money. I don't like this. She says, if you look at research, there are a lot of other businesses and business owners that have employed preferential treatment for decades. Doesn't go on to elaborate, just states that as a fact and moves on. This is not a handout, it's a hand up. It's providing that chance to show their worth and to get out of the starting block. So this is just equity initiatives that are, they don't need to explain how that's true. They just state it as fact and move on. I don't like it because, like I said, I think it's going to end up costing the taxpayer money that the city doesn't necessarily have or could save. Like, I don't give a crap who gets the contract if they do a better job and cheaper. Don't care. Couldn't care less. But these pushes to do this for, it sounds nice, right? It's a nice thing to do, but it's going to end up costing the city money. So, I don't know. You tell me, 813-693-2124. Do you agree with Mayor Kastner's initiative here, or is it pretty dumb? like I think. I don't know. Let me know. How are they gonna test this? You know what I mean? Like, how are they gonna, what's stopping a business owner, some guy, from just being like, yeah, I'm a gay guy now. I identify as a gay guy, so yeah, just put me down there. Don't like chicks. Well, sometimes I prefer having sex with chicks, but I identify as a gay guy, so that counts. Or like, what are they gonna do? Like, there's that movie Chuck and Larry with Sandler and Kevin James. Kevin Smith or Kevin James? Kevin James, yeah. And they, in order to get health care, they acted like they were married. And so are they going to do that? Like, interview every single business owner and make sure that they're homosexual in order to do this? Like, there's just so many ways to scam this system. And I don't think, they don't think ahead. They don't plan this out and think it through a little bit. It's going to be so easy to scam. It's completely dumb. I hate it.
This is the Homemade Broadcast. This is RadioCP.com.
This week on Bedtime, I spent the weekend, most of the weekend, in bed because we had bad weather. It was rainy. And I was watching garbage television because that's what's fun to do on those days. You don't get to do it all the time. And sometimes you got to binge. So I watched a certain program and noticed some things. And perhaps you noticed some things about it, too. I don't know. We're going to talk about it here in a second. But first, I want to say thank you to HomemadePodcast.com. Homemade Podcasts with an S.com is my media consulting company that I run. And, you know, we specialize in podcasting, okay? So if you have any questions about RSS feeds, hardware, software, how to get it on iTunes, but, you know, you're old, or you're just lazy and don't want to figure it out, that's what you can get me for. I can help you. I'm talking to you through that medium right now. I know what I'm doing, kind of. And I can help you, or if you're a business that would like to reach new and existing clientele through the growing medium of podcasting, I can help. HomemadePodcasts with an S.com. Click the contact page. You can email me, or just give me a shout on that HMB radio line, 813-693-2124. Okay, this week's bedtime, trash television and the lessons learned from it, right here on the Homemade Broadcast. I spent Saturday watching garbage television because it was raining. And, you know, not much else to do. I could have read a book, but didn't want to. So I didn't. My stepdad called me a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and I really think he only did this because he wanted to use this joke that he came up with. But you know what Sling TV is? It's like one of those a la carte apps where you can just buy a few stations. So he calls and he goes, "Me and your mom are slingers now." Great stuff. Good stuff. So he's like, "Hey, here's my password, so you can watch TV if you want to." Oh, okay, cool, thanks. And one of the stations that he got was TLC, the Learning Channel, used to be. It's not called the Learning Channel anymore, because it has nothing to do with learning. I knew that years ago, from the last time I watched the Learning Channel. It's just garbage fast food television. And one of the shows that is featured prominently on that network is a show called 90 Day Fiancé. Premise being, if you haven't seen it, is these losers meet a person from another country on the internet,
and they're going to marry them, potentially. They have this 90-day grace period where the person comes over here and lives, and they work on getting a visa and work on the marriage to see, you know, it's just a trial run to see if they actually really want to get married or whatever. And I had seen the first season. It was very fascinating. Just dopes. These poor men getting hustled. Clearly, obviously, to everybody. I mean, it's very clear to everyone but them because they're blinded by love. And this season, which it's probably been 10 years or something, is a little different. So it's these people, Americans, who are going to live in a, it's like the opposite. They're going to go live in the other country to see if they can, you know, start a life in another country, which is insane because the countries they're going to are not good. Sorry. They're not great, these ones that are listed. I only watched about an episode and a half, and I noticed a few things. So, one guy's going to, I think he's in Ecuador. And he's from Louisville, Kentucky. He can't get his pregnant girlfriend a visa because he doesn't make more than 26 grand a year or something like that. What? Dude, how is that possible? You might need another job. So he's like, screw it, I'll just go live in Ecuador then. Turns out he might get deported because he's not working and not, you know, contributing to the to Ecuador. Now, in America, we get half the country thinks that we should just let anybody who wants to come here come in, and that should just be the way it is. But the rest of the world's not so keen on that idea, and I think it's pretty obvious why. So that was shocking that he was dealing with the possibility of being deported, having to go back to America. Can you imagine? Isn't that insane? Then there's this other chick. She met a dude from South Africa. I saw a Tucker Carlson piece a while ago that these farmers were getting murdered, and the president had talked about it on his Twitter, and Tucker Carlson and the president got called a racist because that just wasn't true, what they were saying. Okay, maybe not, who knows. So then I'm watching this show. This woman has a little boy, 8-year-old boy, that she's going to go move to South Africa with her husband. And they're looking at places, and it's very important to find a place that's safe in South Africa. And they're looking at apartments with electric fences around them. And the real estate agents are saying, verbatim, literally, if, you know, it's pretty safe around here. If something happens, there's a lot of people around, just scream. Somebody will hear you and come running. What? What the hell? Oh my god. And this guy, the South African guy, can't get a visa over here because he's a felon. He did some gambling. He had a gambling problem and, I don't know, stole stuff or whatever. But I thought that was a lie, that South Africa was nothing but safe. Anna, the girl I do the radio show with, lived there or visited there. I think her dad's from there. But she visited and said she would not go back. After the last time she went. So there's this push just to deny reality. Like, yeah, some things suck. We have to be honest about them and let's fix them. Or try to fix them. But instead people are just so, you know, we're in our tribes. And if one tribe says something must be true, nope, it's not true. And vice versa. We'll play that game all day. But yeah, literally, electric fences. Shocking. And then the other one was, India. This woman was moved to India for this guy. She's probably 55, and he's 30 something. Has an apartment in some Indian city. I can't remember where they were. she gets there, he's got to go to mommy's house. He's got to go stay with his family. Leaves her, his girlfriend, at her apartment. Says she shouldn't leave the apartment. Don't leave the apartment. Just stay here. Because he's got to go stay with mommy and daddy. So she goes, oh, screw this. I'm going to go find a job. That's what I'll do. I got to work. I want to work. And they go to... She goes to some employment agency. And the guy tells her, no, you can't work here. You don't have a visa. You gotta be a citizen in order to work. Again, you know, that's technically the rule here in America, too. But a lot of people don't follow that rule. And I'm sure probably a lot of people in India don't follow that rule either. But it's just like, these are common things that the rest of the world seems to follow as well. But we're the only ones that get criticized for following these rules. God, I can't imagine moving to India. Like, I'm pretty poor, and I'm still pretty comfortable, you know? I mean, I have an apartment, I got a car, you know, I got food, and I'm fine. Not doing great. You know, but I'm working on it. Things will progress. I can't imagine you just progressing over in Ecuador or India. I don't know. It's crazy. But, you know, all you hear about is, oh, I keep hearing white privilege constantly. My boss's daughter. Now, my boss, my day job boss, great guy. Not super wealthy by any means, but a, you know, small business owner. And his daughter is half Korean, his wife's Korean, he's white guy. And his daughter, he helped put his daughter through school. She got good grades, did, you know, got a lot of scholarships and stuff, but he helped the rest of the way. He paid for her apartment when she was in school. And when she came out of school at UCF, she became one of these SJW type left wingers. And it was her birthday, so he took her to dinner, and she decided to confront him about his white privilege at dinner. Unbelievable. And I think they tell people at school, like, if you see these things, you need to confront them and, you know, counteract them. So, you know, and she had said that he wouldn't be anywhere in his life if he wasn't white. Can you fathom that? I was enraged for him. He's taking this woman, this girl, she's 25, out for her birthday, and she's berating him because of his white privilege. Wow. White privilege really is the ability for white people to trash other white people for their perceived white privilege. My God, I mean, she's half Korean, but she's white too. Grew up, you know, lower middle class, and never had any sort of strife or struggle in her entire life because of her dad's work, not because he's the color of his skin, but he worked hard to, you know, be where he's at. But no, it's original sin. He's that way because of the color of his skin. That's one thing too. Like, these people will say, you can't talk about the colored people experience in America because you don't know what it's like. Okay, fair enough. But they are so sure that they know what the white experience is like here in America. That's totally fine. So they're really sure what our experience is like, but we have no idea. Couldn't possibly fathom how terrible it is. Trust me, it's not that great. I know from experience. I'm fine, like I said, but I'm not getting checks in the mail. Trust me. Oh, God. But, you know, that's just how it is now. And I don't see it getting any better. So eventually, we'll just all hate each other. That'll be fun.
You're listening to The Homemade Broadcast. on RadioSaintPete.com.
813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there as well. Radio St. Pete. Radio, STPETE. And speaking of radio, this week on Stay Woke, it was National Radio Day on Tuesday of last week. And Anna and I had a little chat about that on Stay Woke. Stay Woke is a radio program heard Monday through Friday, technically Tuesday through Saturday, but it's on at midnights on weeknights. So you can find it on 102.5 The Bone FM here locally in Tampa Bay, or always at theboneonline.com, or you can get the app, which I highly recommend doing, because you can get our show is, you know, you sleep and you don't want to stay up that late. I don't want to stay up that late, but this way you can still listen to the show and have a normal life. And then you can get all the other great Bone programming. And it's free. You know, what do you want? It's a free app. You know, you get weather, traffic, and then, like I said, all the great programming on demand over there. So get that app on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you get your stuff. Just search 102.5 The Bone. So let's listen to this clip from Stay Woke about National Radio Day.
No longer National Radio Day, but everybody was posting their pictures today, all their sentimental, all their things about how much they love this business and how much they've learned. I can't tell you how many pictures I saw of my coworkers with a big phallic mic in front of their face, and there's taking a selfie and how great that is. And to be honest with you, I engaged a little bit on my Instagram story, put a nice little collage up there because why the hell not? And it was from last year, so I just basically screenshotted it and reposted it. So it's fine, but I feel like I have this love-hate relationship with radio because I love it so much. Do you feel like an addict? Because I feel like an addict. I feel like my entire life, everything that I plan for the future revolves around this. Nothing else. Like, I've put very little thought into family planning, anything else. Relationships, that's not even like on my radar when it comes to my future. When I think in the future, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm gonna own a house, or oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm like, I'm gonna be on the radio until the day that I die and I can't talk anymore. You know? And I feel like it's captivated me in a way that nothing else in my life has. And it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But sometimes I worry that I don't have enough balance in my life. You know, they always talk about work-life balance, but this is my life. And this also happens to be my work, but it's also, you know, our passion. This is what we like love to do. It's not a chore to get ready for radio. I really, really enjoy it. And everything revolves around it, even on the weekends, even when we're, you know, out and about doing our thing. Like, when something funny happens in our life or something unfortunate or whatever, misfortunate happens, I'm like, yeah, that was, you know, that was an S-hole time, but that's going to be great content.
Yeah.
You know, everything has a silver lining now. Everything kind of revolves around this, and I love it. I love it so much. But I asked Johnny this question. I'm going to ask you the same question. If you were to tell Will when Will first started in radio, which was what? What would you say? I mean, you've been doing podcasting, but you started here about 2 years ago.
I think it's 3 years.
Three?
No, yeah.
That's right, because it's right around the punch out when I got that concussion.
Right. We've almost been doing this for two years.
That's
and a half.
Insane. So that's bananas.
Started doing promo, you know, and then got the opportunity to work with you.
Weasel your way in there, as did I. If you could give yourself one piece of advice at the beginning to kind of, no, not that we're at the pinnacle of our career or anything like that, but one kind of piece of advice that you wish you knew when you started, what would you tell yourself?
Well, I'm not sure I should be giving myself advice at this point because there's a lot that I don't know.
Sure, but at this point, obviously.
I would say, like, just don't be afraid. Like, just go in. I always have this thing where it's hard for me to warm up, you know, to people because I'm afraid of alienating somebody with something that I'm going to say. Or I would just tell myself, just be yourself and you'll be all right. But you don't know when you go into it. You're like, maybe I'll suck at that. Because when I thought about, like, I finally had that opportunity to, like, Johnny gave me the Wednesday thing. And then you started doing Stay Woke. I was like, this is something I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to do radio since I was a little kid. Like, I used to play radio station on my boombox and, like, hot jock songs and stuff when I was a kid. Like, what kid does that? So it's like you get to the point where, okay, I'm here now. This is what I want to do. What if you suck? What if you're just really bad at it and you're not good? Like, that would be a earth-shaking, foundation-shaking moment. And not saying that I'm, like, good, but definitely we're all right, you know, for how long we've been doing it.
I'd say so.
Getting all right.
I will say something about you, though. I've never seen, and not that I've been in the business all that long. It's been, what, like 3.5 years or so. But I've never seen such a transformation as I saw with you, because you were horrendous when you started. But you just weren't comfortable. You
That's
know,
what it was,
like
yeah.
you didn't want to step on anybody's toes. Yeah, you were you know, reserved and all that stuff. But once you broke out of your shell, it was like the summer of Will. It was crazy. Like, you just, it was almost like you went through puberty and then you grew like 3 feet. You know what I mean? So it was such a stark difference. It's like you're completely different than when I first met you and when you started on Johnny's show. And granted, you were having to do, you know, a bunch of bits and everything. We were relying on you for not you, but what you could bring to the table in terms of like an activity or a bit or something like that. And I know that there was a lot of pressure on you to kind of perform.
Oh, yeah.
So I get that. But now it's like you are part of the show. We don't rely on you for like what the bits that you can bring, but just for your personality, who
right.
you are.
Right.
So that's good.
Right. Yeah. And I could, you know, obviously we have our own little Facebook group that we, you know, pitch content and all that stuff. So, yeah, that was nice. That was really, really tough on me, really hard, because I do work a day job. You know, I was doing my podcast and stuff, still do my podcast. But my time was so limited, and having to come up with, I mean, it just wasn't just content, like a story or something to talk about. Like, I had to have a game or do something.
Yeah. And it had to be different. It couldn't be the same thing every week. You can't recycle bits. So yeah, I get it. What would I tell myself when I first started? Here's the thing. Like, I was never delusional. I feel like my generation, our generation, millennials, have a bad rap for wanting instant gratification. And I can only assume that's going to get worse with each subsequent generation, because as soon as you order something on Amazon, you get it the next day or 2 days later, something like that. You get instant gratification all the time. So when someone tells you, hey, you're going to have to be in this business for a long time before you're going to see a return on your investment, I feel like I knew that from the get-go. Like, that was just kind of like my MO.
Right.
You know, I went to school for, you know, advanced studying for 6 years. Not that I ever got my master's, but, you know, I did undergrad for 4 years and then grad for 2 years. So I understood, like, the long haul. That was, I understood that concept. So that wasn't like a shock or a surprise or anything to me. I was telling Johnny, though, that when I moved to Florida, I had no expectations, because I knew that everybody's timeline was different. Everybody had a different path to get into radio. And when I got here, I was hoping to be on air sometime soon. I didn't think it was going to be as fast as it was.
Me either.
Yeah, it happened actually quite quickly, a lot faster than I anticipated. But now I'm kind of learning that there really are no set boundaries. You know, you imagine that there are these rules and these lines you can't cross based on, okay, well, this person did it that way and that person did it this way, so I guess it's going to be kind of like that for me. Honestly, everybody kind of just sets their own rules, their own path. Like, I feel like the only thing that really blocks me is myself. Like, I go, well, that can't happen for me because that hasn't happened for that person. But what you need to do is, like, shed that completely shed it like a dog,
right?
You know, and just you kind of set your own rules and just you stay in your lane. That's what I would tell myself. Stay in your lane. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Just worry about you. Focus about you.
Right, because there is a lot of different paths that people have taken. You know, like, I always like Mike's story, because he's been in the market for, oh my gosh, 20, 25. Yeah, he's been, as long as I've been listening to the radio, he's been on air here. But he started, I believe, just doing promo.
Sure.
And then worked his way into board hopping, and then worked his way onto, you know, shows. And then all of a sudden, so it was a long process. So I always like to look at him just as, I don't know, some sort of measuring stick to see where I'm at. And it took him a long time, and he grinded and he busted his ass, and now he's the king of Tampa Bay radio.
Absolutely. So. And here's the thing. Like, I got a lot of advice from people. This is even before I moved to Florida, about what the timeline was going to kind of look like. And I remember I met with this I don't know if he was like a radio analyst or something like that, but he told me that there was no way, this is before I even got the job here, he's like, there's no way that you're ever going to be able to talk on the air on a talk show, you know, format for about, he said, 15 years. That's what he told me. He said, you're going to be doing overnights at a country music radio station, introing songs for about 15 years before you even see yourself at, you know, a seat at the table on a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him telling me that, and I walked away and I just said, F that.
Yeah.
No, I was like, I don't accept that. That's not happening. And 6 months later, I was on the air. So everybody kind of just sets their own rules. You know, don't worry about what other people are doing. Just kind of get your eye on the prize and then just push the gas and just accelerate as fast as you can.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, it's a business that's definitely changing, you know, as time goes on, as we head into the digital age. And it's a tough business to get into. And, you know, I had an experience like that, too. Somebody that actually works here when I first started doing promo.
Yeah.
They went, so what do you want to do, like, you know, at CMG? And I was just like, well, I want to do on-air work. That's my goal.
Sure.
And they just went, man.
Guess
just,
again.
It's not looking good, man, just so you know.
Just like with radio in general? Like, it's not going to be a lucrative career?
Well, he just said, like, it was pretty set, you know, the people that were here on air, like there's not a lot of opportunities to like get nudge your way in there.
Yeah.
And I accepted that and I said, yeah, you're probably right, but I'm going to keep going and see what happens. And
sure.
It ended up paying off, you know, for me. Well, not literally yet.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, I got the opportunity now,
absolutely.
Which is crazy. I'm so thankful for that because, like I said, this has been something I wanted to do since I was a little kid. And I had to really think about it because I went to college. I shouldn't have went to college.
No, for like, what, 12 years of your life?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm not a doctor, believe it or not. I'm not a medical doctor.
Believe it.
I have an English degree.
Cool.
A bachelor's of arts.
You are also fluent in English.
I speak English.
That
was a big help.
Yeah.
Assistance to me to get that degree, and it took me 8 years to get it. So I just didn't know it was like an option. You know, I didn't know it was a thing that could happen. Like, actually, my dad wasn't the most attentive father growing up, but
does he listen to the show, by the way?
Nah, man. He's sleeping. He's got his pat machine on. he's knocked out.
All right.
But I think he would be like, oh yeah, you're right. I wasn't. Like, we're really tight now. We're buds. I'm an adult and stuff. But
yeah.
He wasn't, you know, the most attentive father. But anyway, one of the things they did do for me when I was 18, he actually got me an interview to go interview with, there used to be this show, MJ. Todd Schnitt used to mm-hmm. be on air here in Tampa doing a morning show. He got me an internship interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 18, and I opted not to go because I didn't want to get up at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. For the interview, or was it for the job?
If it would have been a morning show, I would have
right.
you know,
okay,
had to be
you.
At the station at, you know, 5 in the morning,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely, I get you.
And I opted not to do it. And I often think about how my life could have been different if I would have done that. But honestly, this is where I wanted to be anyways, with The Bone.
Right.
And that's really, you know, the station went into All Talk a few years ago, and that was like, wow, this is really where I want to be. So
yeah.
It worked. I mean, it worked
sure.
out, I think, better.
Yeah, it did. And you can't go back and say, what if this, what if that? I mean, I started really, really late in life with radio. I started at, I think, like 27.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are interns when they're 18. You know, I was in grad school. It was very demoralizing being like a graduate student and then also taking an undergraduate, like, what was it? Like, intro to a communications class, because I needed that class to, as like credit for the internship that I was getting at the radio station. And I had to be at the station at 3 a.m, you know, pulling stories for like a classic rock morning show that, you know, played 12 songs an hour. And I hated that. And I was working with kids that were like, you know, like a decade younger than me. And that made me feel very embarrassed.
Yeah.
But I was like, whatever, this is what I have to do to get there, you know. And I had people tell me, very prominent people in Detroit, actually. I had a meeting with one of them, and the only advice this guy could give me was, you should have started when you were 22.
I know.
That's what he said
over
and over again, to the point where, and again, this guy was like the Kelta of Detroit. I'm not going to say his name, but and I met with him, and he's like, yeah, well, the best thing I could tell you is you should have started like 5-6 years ago. And I said, okay. And then we talked a little more, and he said, yeah, you should have started, you know, back then. And I think he said it like 2 or 3 times, and I go, okay, That's not helpful. So what can I do tomorrow? And then that kind of just like jolted him into like, okay, future planning. Okay, what can we do now? So, you know, of course I would like to go back to Detroit and be like, hey, F you, buddy. But, you know, I'm not bitter. I'm not petty like that.
Well, everybody's
that's
got
not
their,
me.
Everybody's got their path. I remember talking to SBK about that a long time ago. He was like, I didn't get on air until I was 33. And that's when I got on there. So, I mean, like, it happens, you know, if it's going to happen. Probably won't, but it might.
It
you
might.
Know, you don't
but,
know.
But another thing that concerned me, or at least it used to, but not anymore, I get this question all the time when I tell people that, you know, what I do. They say, you know, aren't you worried that, you know, radio isn't really lucrative anymore, right? I mean, it's like a dying industry. There's podcasting. There's everything is on demand now. Why would I listen to a radio station that has commercials when I can listen to anything on demand anytime I want anywhere in the world? You know, and obviously we have digitized part of the platform with, like, mm-hmm. the app and the website and things like that. But the thing that I realize, and this is why I do not think that radio is dying, I think it's the power of it being local,
yep.
right? People are tuning in the area. We're talking about stuff that's going on in St. Pete, in Tampa, in Sarasota, and this is something that people connect with. And whenever I talk with John Brennan, he always tells me that, you know, the analytics show that people like to hear what's going on in their community. Makes sense. I want to know what's going on around town. And you're not going to get that when you're listening to Joe Schmo podcasting in New York or LA or wherever they are. So you really kind of get this sense of community being on a local live radio station that you just can't get from podcasting.
Yeah,
so that definitely. Made me, when I kind of started to understand that, then I was like, okay. And then you can go out and meet people. Like, you can go out to a bar and be like, I'm gonna be there, and you can meet people that are a fan of the show or a fan of the station or you even. So that to me is a really, really cool element that podcasting can't bring.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even my podcast, I try to keep in a radio format because mm-hmm. I know that that's the saving grace of the platform is that it is local. There's people that live in the community that you can talk to. You can, you know, I like listening to, you know, Bill Burr's podcast, but
right.
he's not talking about anything in my community.
Sure.
So I like to know what's going on too. I seek things out. So that's it. That's the saving grace is that it's people that are actually here that you can talk to.
All right, there we go. Stay Woke, Midnights 102.5 The Bone. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line here. Give me a shout. HMBRadio.com is the website. Home_made_man, Instagram and Twitter. HMB Radio on Facebook. And make sure you support those who support us. So visit NTTFitness.com. Visit TruVSalonAndSpa.com. Get some food. Get your hair cut. Visit homemadepodcast.com. Get a podcast. Let's do it. Let's party. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I'm going to get out of here. Appreciate you. If you're listening on podcast, thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe on HMB Radio Tampa Bay. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Hope you have a great week. I love you. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Goodbye.
Have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.